all the arrangements are made, the preparations are made, and those preparations are to be made by us. All those muqaddamat, because he, his forefathers, all of them, one after the other, were killed because there weren't any enough supporters with them. They were invited and people, they stood away. As a result of them, they were killed. For that not to repeat, Allah has kept the Imam in hiding. And until and unless that number of people are ready, he will not come. And it is said that among the ministers or the associates or the first and immediate companions of the 12th Imam are 313 in number. The second batch, it's 10,000. So it seems that even that first batch is not available, as a result of which the Imam has not arrived. Now all this is a lesson to myself. The time that we are living in, it is in a way a probation period, a period wherein we have to train ourselves, we have to educate ourselves. That is, in easier language, if we were good enough to train ourselves and educate ourselves now, then it will be easier for us to be in the service of Imam. We can't say that, let Imam come and then we'll fix ourselves. He will not come. It's as simple as that. Or to understand this in much easier language, we could put it this way, that we are told to respect our parents, father, mother, a lot. We have no right to raise our voice in front of them. We have no right to stretch our legs in front of them. Even if the parents are wrong, we have to listen to their command. Even if they are wrong, even if they are not Muslims, still we have to listen to them. That is the teaching which Quran has taught us, which the Prophet has taught us. Even if they beat you, still you have no right to stand in front of them. I'll call 999, 911. All this is not allowed. If you do that now, then tomorrow when the Imam comes, that's going to be the same scenario. Imam, we can't get along with him, call 911. So that's going to be the same thing. So this time we are living in now is a probation period. We have to train ourselves. Why do I say that? That we have to respect our parents so much. If you want to give something to your parents, the teaching is so strong and so delicate, says that you put the things which you want to give to your parents in your palm and you present it that way, so that they pick it up from your hands. Not that you give it that way, because when you give something to someone that way, it's as if you are giving something to a beggar. It is as delicate as that. You have no right to walk in front of your father if he's walking with you. You have no right to stretch your legs in front of your father. It's as delicate as that. If we could respect our parents today, it will be easier for us to respect the Imam of our time when he comes. Why? In a report, the Prophet says that Ana wa Aliyun abawa hadhihi al-ummah, that me and Ali are the fathers of this nation. Imam al-Asr also is the same. He is the father of the nation. If we could respect our fathers today, it will be easier for us to respect the Imam when he comes. So that's why we are said that all these do's and don'ts that we have in our livelihood, and everything has been said to us from the Almighty God, it's all for our own benefit. It's all for our own perfection, for our own completion. Whatever we do today, it is we are benefiting from that for our dunya, for our barzakh, and for our hereafter. So this time of probation, we have to try and do best. If we were good enough in getting a good progress sheet here, and the number of people were enough, then the Imam will come. Otherwise, he won't come. He will definitely not come. So all those means, preparations, we have to make. And it starts from our own selves. We recited this dua iftitah, which is a beautiful dua reported from our 12th Imam, taught by himself. And he has emphasized that this dua be recited in this sacred month of Ramadan every day. Now these du'as, they act like a prescribed drug. If you do it regularly, it has that effect and impact on you. At the end of the month, you will find that there is a spiritual uplift on the eve of the day of Eid, or the day of Eid again, you find that you are light. Now all this is the result of these spiritual attachments that we have, we gain throughout this sacred month. In this dua iftitah, we said that Allahumma inna narghabu ilayka fi dawlatin kareema, that O God, we desire that in that rule of the Imam when he comes, and that rule of his is known as dawlatin kareema, the benevolent rule, the benevolent government, the benevolent establishment, we desire that in his rule, fi dawlatin kareema, تُعِزُّ بِهَا الْإِسْلَامَ وَأَهْلَهُ, wherein you will grant honor and dignity to Islam and its adherents, that is the Muslims. وَتُذِلُّ بِهَا النِّفَاقَ وَأَهْلَهُ, wherein you will defame kufr and all those adherents of kufr. So everyone, the hypocrites, the kufr, they will be defamed in his rule. What do we desire, O God? And تَجْعَلَنْ وَتُذِلُّ بِهَا النِّفَاقَ وَأَهْلَهُ وَتَجْعَلُنَا, that you enlist us among those who strive and among those who serve him. Whatsoever he says, make it as such that we are in his service. So in this dua, what we ask Allah, that whatever the desires of the 12th Imam are, make it as such they be my desires. Or in easier words, his desires be a reflection of what my desires should be, the same reflection as what he wants. If I do something, it should be as such because he wants it, he likes it, it's his pleasure sought. So that is the whole concept. So he grants dignity to Islam and Muslims, he defames hypocrisy and kufr, and what he wants, I should want that. That is the whole idea. And getting meeting or being a visitation granted by the Imam, all these are simple things. If someone attaches himself to the Imam with all these do's and don'ts, everything else is sorted. It's simple. If you look into the du'as that we have, for example, du'a adila. Du'a adila, it's a du'a, a small du'a, normally recited by the bedside of someone who is giving away his life, or someone who has passed away, you recite that dua beside him. And in that dua, it's just a reminder of what our faith, what our belief is, the oneness of God, prophethood, day of judgment, etc. And after that, one after the other, the a'imma are named in that dua, and it comes to the name of the 12th Imam. And there he, in that dua, Ma'soom says that بِيُمْنِهِ رُزِقَ الْوَرَى, that by the blessing or by the presence of the 12th Imam, رُزِقَ الْوَرَى, the sustenance or the provisions of the entire creation are provided through the 12th Imam. Not only on Laylatul Qadr, every time, whatsoever you want, no matter which door you knock, there is an automatic call forwarding, pledge forwarding. It comes straight to the Imam and Imam gives you. No matter which door you knock, no matter which Imam you come to, they have set this automatic call forwarding and the pledge is sent to the Imam and it comes to you through him. We have to have a strong relationship with the Imam of our time, a very strong relationship. Reports, they say that the relationship you have with the Imam of your time should be as such that if you want your table salt or your shoelaces, now these are the simplest things that exist in a household. Salt is present everywhere and so cheap, just a few cents. Shoelaces, again, it's so simple. Says that have a relationship so strong with the Imam that if you run out of salt, tell that to Imam. If you want your shoelaces, tell that to Imam. That close bond has to be there with the Imam. Because it is through him the provisions come to us. بِيُمْنِهِ رُزِقَ الْوَرَىٰ Not only for now, all the angels that Allah has created, all of them are in the service of the Imam. All of them. Everyone is in the service of the Imam. When we recite the Suratul Qadr, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا All of these angels, they cluster around the Imam, they frequent with the Imam, and through him all this sustenance is provided to us. We have to have a connection with him all the time. Some things have to be done by us so that they are different to our daily schedule. For example, once in a week, make it a habit that you offer a two-rakat prayer for the Imam of our time. Just have a connection that way. One of the things which help a lot is this Namaz-e-Imam-e-Zaman. It's a two-rakat prayer mentioned in the books of dua. And whenever you are disturbed, whenever you are distressed, whenever you find no solution to your difficulties that you are facing, the report says that on a Thursday night, nearer to the midnight, do a ghusl. When everyone is asleep, no one is there. Do a ghusl. Do those two rakat namaz for Imam al-Asr. And after that, ask for your pledge. And if you do it sincerely, you'll get an answer by the morning. It's as simple as that. And we should have a connection with him all the time. That heart of ours, we should train it in a way that the palpitation of that, every beat of that, should be a call to the Imam. Ya Sahib al-Zaman, Ya Sahib al-Zaman, that way. And it's simple, it's easy. If someone, practice makes perfect. If we have all the trash out of the heart and we train our heart to call the Imam at every instance, it will do it. It will do it. And you can try it for yourself. That's one. Or this dua nudba. Again, that is something which is to relate ourselves to the Imam. There's a small dua called Istighase bi Imam al-Zaman. It's available on YouTube. It's called Seeking Help from Imam Mahdi. Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. A small dua, if you were to recite, it would take 3, 4, 5 minutes, not more. Seeking help from the Imam. And that too has miraculous effects. Among the things that we are told to do every morning after Fajr prayers is the recitation of Dua Ahd. That too, it's a pledge of allegiance between us and the Imam. And the reports, they say that if someone intended and recited that Dua for 40 days and death intervened and he passed away and he couldn't meet the Imam, Allah will revive him when the Imam comes. Or because his intentions were pure and clear that he wanted to serve the Imam when he comes, but life did not allow him, says that whatever reward, for example, 6 billion people living on this earth today, when the Imam comes, the reward of those 6 billion people will be registered into the account of this one person who wished and longed to be with the Imam. So all that great reward is there just for having a small connection with the Imam. The connection we have normally, it's a dial-up connection. It's weak, but it's still better than nothing. If we try, we can have that broadband, high-speed connection with the Imam wherein we are with the Imam at all times. Our livelihood shouldn't be as such that, for example, if someone says that Imam is at the door and he wants to come to your house, we don't say that, Imam, just wait a minute. We come inside the house, we have to hide and put some things away so that then the Imam comes in. Everything has to be open, clear, that whenever he comes, now all this is a lesson to myself, he walks in. We have to be as clear as that. When we say that, many a times when problems come across, we impose so many things on ourselves that if that problem is solved, we will do this and we will do that. Ayatullah Sistani's father, marhum Sayyid Baqir Sistani, a very pious person, and he used to live in Mashhad about 50 years ago. And it was the time of Reza Shah, La'natullah alayh, father of this Shah Pahlavi, who plundered everything in Iran, who destroyed everything. When hijab was abandoned, wearing amama was abandoned, mosques were shut down, Husseinias were shut down, majlis, matam, everything was closed down during his time. And it was a very tense time. No woman was allowed to be in hijab for those 7 years. And it so happens that marhum Sayyid Baqir Sistani, he says that I had a problem and I imposed upon myself that I will recite Ziyarat Ashura for 40 weeks in different mosques in Mashhad, not in one mosque, every week in one mosque. And that Ziyarat Ashura with 100 La'an and Salam and then the Dua Al-Qama after that, hoping to get a reply for the problem that he was facing. And then he says that it was the 40th week, that the last session where he was to recite this Ziyarat Ashura, and he said that today I should get an answer. I've done all that for 40 weeks. And the last week, he says that when I was busy with this recitation of Ziyarat Ashura, I saw all of a sudden a light flash in that mosque. And then I saw this light move away out of the mosque into the lanes and into one of the houses that was besides the mosque. And then he says that I quickly jumped and followed that light where it was going and moving to. And there I saw that it was a house, the doors were opened, and there was a janazah, a body, in that house, and people were all crying. That body was laid, and I saw that light move into one of the rooms, and I also followed it. I came into the room where the body was laid, and I was told that it was the body of a woman, a lady. And then I saw Imam was seated over there in that majlis where the body was. And I went and sat by the Imam, besides the Imam. And he says that when Imam, he said to him, Sayyid Baqir, all these things which you have imposed upon yourself are not required. You intend us, we are with you. Just want us, we are there. You don't need to put yourself into so much of trouble and pain to get to us. We are there whenever you want. And then when he inquires who this person was who has passed away, the people, they say that this was a mu'mina, an ordinary lady. What she did was, during that tense time of Reza Shah, she, because it was abandoned to come out of the house with hijab, she stayed in the house for 7 years just to protect and observe her hijab. Says that because of that, Imam comes in her janazah, in her funeral. So ma'asum is there, it's we who have to correct ourselves. When we say that it is the probation period that we are living in, this probation period, we have to try and do something that we correct ourselves, we fix ourselves, so that when the Imam comes, it's easier for us to listen to his commands. As we recited in this dua, Allahumma inna narghabu ilayka fi dawlatin kareema tu'izzu biha al-islam wa ahla وتذل بها النفاق وأهله وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والقادة إلى سبيلك وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة. Among the things that we ought to bear in mind is serving each other, helping each other in problems when they face, when they are disturbed, and the least is by way of dua and prayers to each other. Dua of a mu'min, it ascends, it is accepted. Dua of a group of mu'mineen, if one of them, that is why it is mustahab to have these duas recited in a group, because out of that group, there should be at least one person who recites or who says Ameen with the depth and the core of his heart. And by that one Ameen of that one person who has said that with khulus and sincerity, says that dua of the entire congregation will be accepted. Says that there will be a group on the day of judgment. Allah says that min ayyi wadin shi'ta udkhul, that on the day of judgment this group Allah will tell them min ayyi wadin, from whichever side, from whichever door you want to enter into the heaven, enter. So it's all at your leisure, whichever door you wish to enter. Who are they? According to Ma'asumeen, they are those people who have perfected themselves, who have corrected themselves, and their deeds are as such that those of a higher level, they boast on the progress report and the performance of these mu'mineen. Now regarding this group of people, Quran says that kalla inna kitab al abrar lafi illiyin. Kitab is that progress sheet or the progress report which these mu'mineen will get in the hereafter. Says that the progress report of these mu'mineen lafi illiyin. Illiyin is one of the highest ranks in the hereafter, in the heavens. And the next ayah says that وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا عِلِّيُّونَ, and you do not know what عِلِّيُّون are. Says كِتَابٌ مَرْقُومٌ, the report or the progress sheet that will be given to them, it is a certain and it is something which has been certified and written. يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ, that those of the higher level or those who are مُقَرَّب and near to the existence of Allah, they will witness it and they will be proud of the progress report of these mu'mineen, what performance they have done. Now this is something, now everything which is valuable or antiques nowadays, or we like things that are valuable, which are good. Many a times in many of these countries, tourism, it's a big industry. They make things, they keep things, retain things, and then invite all these tourists so that they have an import of all those funds in that country. The same way in the hereafter, by looking at the progress report of these mu'mineen, those of that higher level, they will be proud. يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. Now the title deed of these mu'mineen, it's so wonderful that everyone, they want to see it. A body was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The talk is pleasing a mu'min, making a mu'min happy. إِدْخَالُ السُّرُورِ فِي قَلْبِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Now there's a chapter in the books, in our books of ahadith, a complete chapter that making a mu'min happy, pleasing a mu'min, as little as just with a smile or with shaking a hand, or giving him something, or providing him iftar, or inviting him to your house, so on and so forth. So a body was brought to the Prophet of Islam, and he was to say prayers on that body. Now this person, he was known to be a bad guy in Medina. And Rasulullah, he did not want to say that salat, the funeral prayers on that body. And it so happens that Jibreel descends, says Allah has conveyed his salams to you and he wants you to say the prayers on this body. What it means is that when Rasulullah offers prayers on someone, and that is a bonus, and that person is guaranteed to have a good end, because the prayers of Rasulullah, they never go waste. Because the last dua that we have in a funeral prayer after the fourth takbir is that Allahumma ghfir lihadha al-mayyit, that God forgive this mayyit. When Rasulullah says that forgive this mayyit, then it's already forgiven. Allah waves, Allah forgives whatsoever wrong he has done. So Rasulullah, he doesn't want to say the prayers. Jibreel comes and says, Allah has instructed you to say the prayers. And then he says that the reason why Allah said to him why to say the prayers on that person is, the night before there was a storm in Medina, a hurricane, downpour of heavy rain, and everything was flooded. And this person who was bad, he was informed of a fellow brother in that town that he was in need, he was in help. He says that he went to serve him, helped him, sorted him out, and on his way back in all that mud and clay, he got drowned and death intervened between him and his life. Says that because of that task of that person who was all bad, Allah liked that little task, and as a result of that, instructed Jibreel to inform the Prophet to say prayers on that person so that he is forgiven. So pleasing someone, making someone happy. Or again, if you look into the seerah of our second Imam Mujtaba alayhi salatu wassalam, says that Imam was performing tawaf and he was in this fourth round. A person rushes to the Imam and says that, Imam, my debtor, he is after me and he is going to cause a lot of problem and nuisance. Help me. Imam immediately, he breaks that tawaf, rushes out and says, what can I do? I'll be his guarantor. And the debtor says, if you guarantee, I will let him go. And then Imam comes back to continue with the tawaf. And one of his companions says that, Imam, did you not say that when it comes to the fourth tawaf, fourth round of the tawaf, it's your teaching says that you must not break that tawaf. You have to complete the seven rounds, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And after that, you can come out. If it was before the fourth one, you could have come out. But because you've reached the fourth round, how come your teachings were that you shouldn't break that round of tawaf and you should complete it? Imam says that I was not permitted to complete my tawaf. When a fellow brother was in need, it was wajib on me to sort him out first and then come and continue with my tawaf. So helping someone, pleasing a mu'min, it's as great as that. The reward for that is also huge, immense. In to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, a faqir, he comes, a beggar comes, and says that, Imam, I'm in need of help. Imam comes to his companions and says that, do we have anything? Says, yes. On everything, all the money which Imam had, they bring and pile it before the beggar. Says that, take it. He has nothing to take. Imam takes his abba out, puts everything in it, and then asks him to take that away. And when they came in, they hear the beggar crying loud. And Imam comes out and says that, now what's the problem? Now what do you need? He says that these hands of yours must never be buried in the ground. Hands of Ahlul Bayt, hands of Abu Abdullah must remain until the end of the world. Crying, that beggar said that. So this is Yashhaduhul Muqarrabun, that in the hereafter, the performance of some or the files of some of these people, those of a higher grade, they boast, they are proud of it. And kalla inna kitab al abrar lafi illiyin wa ma adraka ma illiyun kitabun marqum yashhaduhu al muqarrabun. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala help us in these sacred nights. For all those who have provided the iftar until tonight, may Allah accept from each one of them biqabulin hasan, all the desires, wants, hajat, pledges, whatsoever needs they may be having. May Allah grant them, bless them, and provide them to them. May Allah make it as such that He gives us an opportunity that we endeavor to have a link created between us and the Imam of our time, and that link remains at all times. May He, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, enlist us among those who truly wait for His reappearance. And may He enlist our children among the best Muslims who ever existed. All those who are ill and ailing, all those who are in troubles, all those who are facing problems, may Allah, by these nights and by this day of Imam al-Asr, ease the problems that they are facing. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 لأرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات الفاتحة مع الصلوات. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. السلام عليك يا رسول الله، السلام عليك يا نبي الله، السلام عليك يا خير خلق الله، السلام عليكم وعلى أهل بيتكم الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليك يا صاحب الزمان، السلام عليك يا شريك القرآن، السلام عليك يا قاطع البرهان، السلام عليك يا إمام الإنس والجان، عجل الله تعالى فرجك وسهل الله تعالى مخرجك وظهورك ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Allahumma salli wa sallim ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa sallim tasliman.